பூர்ணமத பூர்ணமிதம் பூர்ணாத் பூர்ணமுதச்யதே பூர்ணஸ்ய பூர்ணமாதாய பூர்ணமேவாவசிஷ்யதே. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். கட்டோபனிஷத் பார்ட் 2 செக்ஷன் 3 ஸ்லோகா 1. ஊர்த்வமூலோ வாக்ஷாகா ஏஷோஸ்வத்த சநாதனஹ ததேவ சுக்ரம் சுக்ரம் தத் ப்ரஹ்ம ததேவாமிருதமுச்யதே தஸ்மில் லோகாஸ்ரிதா சர்வே ததுநாத்யேதி கஷ்சன ஏதத் வைதத். சோ வி சா தி இன்ட்ரோடக்ஷன் டு திஸ் ஸ்லோகா இன் தி லாஸ்ட் வெபினார் அண்ட் வி செட் இன் தி ஃபஸ்ட் 3 ஸ்லோகாஸ் யமதர்மராஜா டாக்ஸ் அபவுட் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் பிரம்மன் Brahma-swarupam. And this is a very important mantra because based on this mantra, we have got the well-known verse in Bhagavad Gita. We said earlier, Urdhva-moolamata-shakam ashvattam-prahuravyayam. So, Kathopanishad, actually Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna has borrowed this shloka from Kathopanishad. That's what we mentioned at that time. So, we after going through the introduction regarding the similarities between this Ashwatha Vriksham and this universe creation and all. So we will now see the meaning of this shloka. Urdhva Moolaha Ashwatthaha. The world is like the Ashwatha tree, people tree. The world is now given as an example as Ashwatha tree. Yeshaha. Yeshaha means I am prapanchaha. Idam jagat is Ashwatthaha. This world is like Ashwatthaha. And we have to add iva. Ashwatthaha iva. So, it is like the Ashwatha tree, people tree. And what type of people tree it is? Sanatanaha. This is a Sanatanaha, which is Adhyantarahitam, which doesn't have a beginning and which doesn't have an end also, which is eternal, which will not be naturally destroyed. Even death is not an end actually, according to our Dharma, because rebirth is there. So, there is nothing like death. It's only the grass body dies, but there is always rebirth. So, even pralayam is not an end because re-srishti is there. Creation again happens. So, it is sanatanam. It is eternal. And for this samsara vriksha, for the samsara tree, urdhva moolaha, moolam, the root, or the adhara, or the support is what? Urdhvam. Here, urdhva means it's not like the roots are above and all that. Urdhva means here Brahman. It is not at the top or above and all that thing. That kind of urdhva is not that meaning. But it is at the top. So, urdhva moolaha, that means Brahma moolaha. Brahman is the moolam. That is the highest and the subtlest is Brahman. It is incomprehensible, anirvachaniyam, all that we know. So, utkrishta, it is Utkrishtam is the meaning we have to take for urdhvam, the one which is high. So, it is not top and all. So, urdhvam Brahma Muchyate. So, this universal tree has Brahman as the nourishing root. Then, avakshaka, this samsara vriksha has got many branches, shaka, which are inferior. Avak means lower. It is not spatially lower, but qualitatively it is inferior. Why the creation is inferior and Brahman is superior? Because Brahman is eternal and creation is subject to arrival and departure. So Brahman is satyam and the creation is mithya. So it is inferior. Brahman is karanam, the cause, and the world being karyam, the effect. So it is inferior. So, avakshaka endowed with inferior perishable branches, the shakas, the branches, that's the creation. And tat brahma, that urdhvam brahma, that brahman, the word tat, it does not mean the samsara tree, but it refers to the moolam, the root or support, namely brahma. So, the invisible support of this universe is brahman. And what is the nature of this brahman? Why do we say it is superior? Tadeva Shukram. It is Shuddham. Shukram means Shuddham here. While the creation is full of Ashuddham, Ashuddhi, lot of impurities. Punyakarma is there, Papa karma is there, Mishra karma is there, mixture. So many impurities are there in creation, but the Adhara, the support, namely Brahman, is not affected by any of these impurities. So just as, for example, the dream world, when we dream, the dream world does not affect the Adhara, namely the waker. I am only dreaming during my sleep, but as a waker, it doesn't affect me. The dream water does not wet me. In my dream, I can have dream fire, dream water, all of them. None of them affect me. So Brahma is Shukram. Shukram is Shuddham. It's not affected by any of those. And Tadeva Amritam Uchyate. That Brahman is said to be Amritam. Amritam Uchyate. Immortal. By saying Tadeva Amritam, only that is immortal, Yamadharmaraja is indicating that everything else is mortal. Only Brahman is immortal. Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. So do not hold on to this universe. You will be in trouble. Hold on to the root, namely the Lord, Ishwaraha, Brahman. And then what about others? What do I, if I hold on only to Brahman, what do I do with other people? You entertain them, no problem at all. Relate to them, love them, help them, relate to them, no problem. Do everything except depending on them, holding on to them, leaning on to them, handle them, but hold on to the Lord only. Tadeva Amritam Uchyate. Just like holding on to a chain or bars when we go to a waterfalls. In India, this is common. We go to waterfalls and then take a shower there, take bath in waterfalls. They normally put all these iron bars and chain and all that. You hold on to them and then take the water. So, in the river also, when people want to take a dip, they hold on to something so that you don't fall. Hold on to Brahman and enjoy your life. As we hold on to those bars and enjoy the shower, hold on to Brahman and enjoy life. Tasmin sarve lokaha shritaha. All the 14 lokas, sarve lokaha, they are all based on that Brahman only. They are all supported by that Brahman only. Since Brahman supports the whole universe, it is not very difficult to support us. We are all just ordinary people, 50, 60, 70 kilos. That is all the weight. So Brahman can very easily support all of us without any problem. That is why Tyagaraja Swami, he is saying, so Bharama, there is no Bharam. For the Lord, there is no Bharam at all. Since you are supporting the whole cosmos, where is the difficulty for you to support me? No problem at all. And that is what is said here. Tasmin sarve lokaha shritaha. Shritaha means ashritaha. So, Brahman is Vishwa Adharam. Vishwa Adharam Gaganatha Sadrisham. That Vishwa Adharam. And tat una atyeti kaschana. There is nothing in creation which is outside of Brahman. Tat una atyeti kaschana. Na atyeti means nothing can exist outside of that Brahman. Nothing can exist. Just as no part of the dream world can exist outside of the waker. I may dream for whatever length of time, 1 minute, 2 minutes, half a minute. But whatever I have in the dream, the part of the dream world can exist outside the waker. Even the farthest dream star, I may dream of some stars which may be 12 million, 15 million light years away. And that is also where? That is also within my small head only when I dream. Because the very existence of the dream object is given by the waker only. The waker only gives existence to the dream object. Similarly, the existence in any object is borrowed from that Brahman only. So if we say any object exists, that very existence principle comes from Brahman only. We say this object is, that object is, that isness, that comes from Brahman only. So tat una atyeti kaschana. The Nachiketas may wonder, I am asking about Atmaswarupam. You are talking about Brahman, right? My question was about Atmaswarupam. And you are talking about Brahman. Why are you dealing with some other subject matter? Nachiketas might wonder and ask Yamadharmaraja. So Yamadharmaraja says, dear Nachiketas, etat vaitat. This Brahman is not different, is not far away. It is your very own Swarupam itself, your own nature. Etat Vaitat. Your very being is very Brahman. The very Sat in you, the very existence principle in you, the very Chit in you, the very awareness in you, that is Brahman. I am Atma Brahma. Shloka 2. Yaditam kincha jagat sarvam prana yejati nisrutam mahadbhayam vajra mudyatam ya etad viduhum atamrutaste bhavati. So here Yamadharmaraja is repeating the same idea only. Not only Brahman is the very karanam. Karanam means you should understand, very upadhana karanam, the material cause of this universe. Brahman is the nimitta karanam also, the intelligent cause also of the universe. That is what is pointed out here. Yamadharmaraja says, idam sarvam jagat. Idam sarvam, yadidam kincha jagat, idam sarvam, sarvam prana. So that sarvam you have to bring here. So idam sarvam jagat, this whole universe or cosmos, yaditam kincha, whatever it consists of, charam, the movables, the immovables, microcosm, macrocosm, chetanam, achetanam, everything, whatever this entire universe consists of, without any exception, prane sati nishrutam. Nishrutam means emerges. They all emerge only in the presence of Brahman, prane sati, just as the dream world emerges only from the waker. You are the basis from which the entire dream world arises. Here prana, prana refers to Brahman. This is a peculiar meaning here, rare meaning. Normally prana refers to the pancha pranas, prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana. But here prana refers to Brahman. So praneshati yajati. Praneshati means in the presence of Brahman, nishritam, they emerge out. Also yajati, they also function. All those things, they function. They move about to be blessed by Brahman. They are sentient. They are moving because of Brahman. So, creator also is Brahman, and so also the maintainer, the one who sustains also is Brahman. So, na kevalam srishti karanam, not only srishti karanam, parantu sthiti karanam cha brahmaiva. The one who maintains also is Brahman. And how do we know that Brahman is there as the protector? We might ask that question. So, the Upanishad says, Brahman is there like a policeman with a weapon in his hand. Mahat bhayam, like a policeman, we can think of. He has a gun with him. Brahman is the great source of fear with a weapon in hand. And what is that weapon? Vajram udyatam iva. Brahman is having a vajrayuda. And it is udyatam. It is ready in hand to be deployed, always raised. He is always ready to deploy that. And how do we know that Brahman or Ishvara is policing the universe? We can ask that question. He says, it is because of that only the whole universe is functioning in order. If there is any order in the universe, it is because of that Mahat Bhayam, the great fear of the Lord. Orderliness of the planets, the stars, the moving of the earth. We are not pushing it, it moves by itself. The earth is moving around the sun and rotating on its own axis. Who is maintaining all this? Not only movement is steadily maintained, the distance from the sun also is maintained. If you go a little bit closer, we will be scorched. If you go a little bit far away, we will be frozen. So what is the law? Wherever order is maintained, there must be an intelligence behind it. And how do we prove it? We can look on the road. Actually, this is very common in our Indian roads, in the traffic. As long as there is a policeman regulating the traffic will flow smoothly. And actually, India is a unique country where there is traffic light and policeman both. For any law that is promulgated by the government, we always have a law enforcing authority, because no law enforces itself. So, no law enforces itself. So, if you require such an intelligence to maintain this simple human created law, what to talk of the powerful universal laws? They are to be strictly maintained. Who can maintain them? It is only because of the universal intelligence called Ishwara. It is maintained. And Yamadharma Raja says, Yaha Yetat Viduhu. Suppose a person knows this Brahman. What type of Brahman? Nimitta Upadana Karanam Brahma. Srishti Sthiti Laya Karanam Brahma. The Brahman who is the Nimitta Karanam, intelligent cause, and also the material cause, Upadana Karanam, and also Srishti Sthiti Laya Karanam, the creator, sustainer, and finally dissolver, that Brahma, otherwise popularly known as Ishwaraha. We call him as Ishwaraha. So the one who gains Ishwara Jnanam, Etad Vidhu, the one who gains this Jnanam or Brahma Jnanam, what is the benefit for him? Te Amrutaha Bhavanti. They will attain immortality, amritam, muktaha bhavanti. They will become jivan muktaha. And then we have to supply here, etad vaitat, as it was said earlier. We have to see, it is that Brahman which is not far away. That is what you are looking for, O Nachiketas. It is not that Lord is standing somewhere up above with a binocular, watching who does what to enforce the law and order. It doesn't mean that, but in fact, every suffering that we undergo is the punishment given by the Lord only for the violation of one law or the other in the cosmic makeup. For example, the moment we violate the health law, sickness is the punishment. The universal laws are all called dharma. Universal laws are dharma. So every violation of dharma, every adharma, Lord uses a stick that is called our sorrows in life. So every mental agony is Lord's hitting us for any violation that we might have committed. So that is dharma, dharma paripalana. Shloka 3. Bhayadasya agnistapati, bhayat tapati suryaha, bhayad indrascha vayuscha, mrityurdhavati panchamaha. In this shloka, Yamadharma Raja, he explains the second line of the previous shloka. Mahadbayam Vajramudyatam. If you remember that sentence, Mahadbayam, I mentioned. That clause is explained here in this shloka. Why do we say that Brahman is the source of fear? It is because all the devatas are functioning perfectly without violating the law. That is why we say that all devatas representing the natural forces, the force that controls the earth, is called Prithivi Devata, because of which earth follows all the laws associated with earth, like going around itself, going around the sun, and there is gravitational force. All these forces put together, that is called Prithivi Devata. Similarly, sunrise and sunset, Surya Devata. Every natural force is seen as a Devata in our scriptures. And all these Devatas are functioning without striking. You know, if you have labor union and all, they will go on a strike. But none of these Devatas, they go on a strike because they are all frightened. There is a tremendous power behind it called Ishwaraha. And Yamadharma Raja says, Asya Bayat. Because of that fear of that Ishwara alone, asya means Brahmanaha or Ishwarasya. Agnihi tapati, the fire represents Agni Devata. It is doing the job of burning. The fire is burning because of fear of Ishwara. Ishwara means Dharma. Bayat tapati Suryaha, the sun shines and does its duty of rising and settling. Out of fear of the law, this cosmic order is the law, Surya Devata. And Indraha and Vayuscha, Indra Devata, who represents rain and also the god of all the Devas. We require the seasons to regularly revolve. And he is assisted by whom? By Vayuhu, the wind god. If you take all these monsoons and all, they all happen because of the movement of clouds. If you really in India, this is very common. The southwest monsoon must move. It has to go and hit the Himalayas and return back as northeast monsoon. It has to come back. The meteorologists, what they can do? They can neither create nor control any of them. They can only try to understand these forces. That is all they can do. So our question is, who has created and who maintains all these? Can we say that these are all accidentally happening? We can never accept accident in Vedanta. In scriptures, there is nothing like an accident, nothing like a probability, nothing like a chance, because it is not statistically true. The scientists themselves, they say that anything happening perfectly, accidentally, is almost zero. Yeah, they are perfect, happening perfectly. There is no chance at all. Statistics does not allow that. Then who is maintaining all of them? The invisible intelligence that is maintaining it, called Brahman or Ishwaraha, whatever it is. So, Bhayat, Indrascha, Vayuscha. So far four devatas have been enumerated: Agni Devata, Surya Devata, Indra Devata, and Vayu Devata. And here actually, Indrascha, Vayuscha, there is no verb there. Agnihi Tapati, verb was there. Suryaha Tapati, verb was there. Vayuhu and Indraha, verb is missed. So we have to supply the verb. Sva, Svakaryam Karoti. So each one does their function. They perform their duty. And above all, that is the very, very important Devata called the Mrityu Devata, the Lord of Death. And who is talking about it? The Lord of Death himself is talking. Yamadharma Raja is talking. He says, I am also doing my duty. I am extremely busy. All others, when they do their duty, they can walk and do their duties. Whereas I have to run. Mrityuhu Dhavati. I run. So, Mrityuhu Panchamaha. Panchamaha is the fifth Devata. Dhavati runs. He is running, observing all these rules. One day there is an earthquake in some place. Another day there is something else, some tsunami somewhere else. There are so many people die all over the world, everywhere. So much of creation. Yamadharmaraja is the busiest person. And if the Kala Devata is not functioning, then we will know what will be the situation also. Taittiriya Upanishad gives the same idea. Bhishasmat vata pavate, bhishodheti suryaha, bhishasmat agnischendrascha, mrityurdhavati panchamayiti. So all these five devatas are mentioned there also. So it is very clear that everybody is afraid of Yama Devata. But Yama himself is afraid of whom? Ishwara. And so, if you want protection from Yama Dharma Raja, what we should do? We have to go to the big boss, namely Ishwaraha. We will never see immortality at all by worrying about going here and there. You can escape from Yama from only one method, that is called Ishwara Aikyam, which is symbolically represented by the story of Markandeya. Markandeya Upakhyanam. Markandeya embraced Shivalinga. Means what? It is Jiva Ishwara Aikyam took place. Physical embracing is not the idea, but in the form of Aham Brahma Asmi Iti Jnanam. So, that is what is implied there. So, Yamadharma Raja is afraid of Ishwara, and that Ishwara is Jagat Nimitta Karanam Upadana Karanam Cha. Shloka 4. Iha chedashakat bodhum praksharirasya visrasaham tatas sargeshu lokeshu sarirat shariratvaya kalpate. So, Brahma Swarupam, nature of Brahman, was talked about in the first three shlokas. Now, Yamadharma Raja, he will be talking about the conditions required for Brahma Jnana. What are all favorable factors that they are required for somebody to gain self-knowledge? And what is the first and the foremost favorable factor? First factor is, I should be a human being. Then only I can attend Vedanta classes and then try to gain knowledge. Durlabam trayamevaitate devanugraha hetukam manushyatvam mumukshutvam mahapurusha samshrayaha. This shloka we saw in our Viveka Chudamani lectures. We always take the human birth for granted. But Acharya says it is durlabam, rare to attain. There are 84 lakhs of species, not people or jantus, so many species. Each species will have so many, these things of in the same variety. So many are there, and among all of them, I have taken this human birth. It is very rare. I don't know what is going to be my next birth also. So first understand the importance of human birth and utilize it properly. That is the first advice. Mahata punya panyena kriteyam kayanostaya param dukkodader gantum tara yavan vityate. For crossing the samsara ocean, what one should do? We need a special boat, which is a human body. And it is a very, very costly boat. Why? What is the cost? Great punyam is required to get this body. Mahata punya panyena. By paying lot of punyam dollars, we have purchased this boat. For what? Param dukkodade gantum. To cross this ocean of samsara. And the boat cannot permanently remain also, we should understand. Anytime it can disappear. So, before it is lost, better cross this ocean of samsara. So, Yamadharmaraja, he wants, Iha ched ashakat bodhum. A person has to know this truth. Iha means what? In this janma, in this birth itself, in manushya janmani. And when one should know this? Sharirasya vishrasaha prak. Before the body is dropped, before the body is gone, while one is alive, one has to know this Brahman. One has to know this Atma. And if a person knows, then we have to complete the sentence ourselves by adding, samsarat muchyate. If a person knows, in this janma itself, he will be released from the shackles of samsara. And if a person wastes this human janma, that we have to supply actually in the second line, adi bhotum na shaknoti. If one squanders this opportunity, then what is his lot? Shariratvaya kalpate. He would be fit only for another janma, another body, for the acquisition of another physical body. Shariratvaya kalpate. That means fit for another human body. And Yamadharmaraja only says, Shariratvaya. He does not say, what Shariram it is. Manushya Shariratvaya, he didn't say. That means what? It need not be a human body. It could be any body. He will be born. Where? Sargeshu Lokeshu. In one, any one of the 14 created lokas by the Lord. There is no guarantee. He will be born on earth. He can be born in any of those 14 lokas. Sargaha means created. It's adjective to loka. So he can appear anywhere, and again another human birth might appear after millions of srishtis. Even we don't even know when the next set of sanchita karma is going to fructify for him to get another human body. Nobody knows. So Yamadharma Raja, out of compassion, he wants to see whether we recognize this importance of this human janma. And also whether we are tired of repeated births or not, Yamadharmaraja is tired. Why can't you get liberated? Shariratvaya kalpate. Why don't you get liberated also? That's what he is trying to tell instead of getting another body. Shloka 5. Yatha darshe tata mani, yatha swapne tata pitra loke, yatha supariva drishe, tata gandharva loke, chaya tapayo riva brahma loke. Here Yamadharma Raja, he discusses whether this knowledge, self-knowledge, can be acquired in any other loka. Yama accepts that this knowledge can be acquired in some other lokas also. It is not only in the bhuloka one has to get, it can be acquired in other lokas also. And he says, even though this knowledge can be acquired in other lokas, the best is manushya loka and manushya janma. This human birth and this human world, that is the most congenial place for getting this knowledge. So, to talk about the superiority of the manushya loka, he compares other possibilities in this loka. Yata adarshe tata amani. In the human intellect, Here Atma refers to Manushya Buddhi, not the Sachidananda Atma. One can gain this knowledge in the human intellect, and that knowledge will be crystal clear. Like what? Adarshe, like seeing the face in a mirror. It will be as clear. Just as a person can see the face very clearly in a mirror, so clearly one can get self-knowledge in the Manushya Loka. So this is first possibility. And next possibility is given as what? Pitruloke. In Pitruloka also, in the world of the Pitrus, the ancestors, the mains, there also self-knowledge is possible. But what is the problem? It will be not that clear. It will only appear very vague. Like what? Yatha swapne. Just as in a dream, things are very fleeting and quickly changing also. You will see a person, suddenly it will look like a buffalo. All these things are all possible because the buffalo may have a horn also. All those things are possible because the dream is based on what? It's based on our own thought processes. And our thoughts are highly changing all the time. So in dream, swapna, everything is asputam. They are all vague. That is why often we are not even able to remember what we dreamt last night. Therefore, in Pitruloka, self-knowledge is possible, but it is vague as in a dream. Therefore, there is another loka where self-knowledge is also possible, Pitruloka, but not quite clear. And the third possibility is the Gandharva Loka. Gandharva Loka, it is another higher loka, a world of music, entertainment, or relaxation, dance, a loka of enjoyment. There also, self-knowledge can be gained. But that is also, there is vagueness. Apsu iva pari dadrishe. We have to rearrange pariva into apsu iva pari. Into iva pari dadrishe. He will gain self-knowledge there exactly like what? Seeing the face in a water. For a human janma, it is like seeing in a mirror. For Pitruloka, it is like seeing a dream. For Gandharva Loka, it is like seeing the face in water. We can get only an outline. It cannot be as clear as in a mirror. And especially if the water is disturbed by the wind, it will still be more unclear. So Gandharva Loka also is vague for self-knowledge, gaining self-knowledge. Then what about Brahma Loka? Yama says, self-knowledge is certainly possible in Brahma Loka, which we call it as Krama Mukti, 8th chapter in Bhagavad Gita. Those who attend Bhagavad Gita lectures, it is called Krama Mukti. That alone we discussed in the 8th chapter. So it is certainly possible in Brahma Loka. Yama Dharmaraja says, in Brahma Loka also knowledge is very clear, like Manushya Loka. There also it is clear like what? Chaya tapayoho iva. Chaya means shadow or darkness. Atapaha means light or sun. So just as darkness and light are very distinct, darkness and night and light, so like black and white, they are very clear and distinct. Similarly, self-knowledge also can be gained very distinctively in Brahma Loka. So there are four possibilities now: Manushya Loka, Pitru Loka, Gandharva Loka, and Brahma Loka. Now we have to find out which one we should choose among these four. Out of the four, two can be ruled out because self-knowledge will be very vague, both in the Gandharva Loka and Pitru Loka. So we cannot vote for them because it is asputa jnanam, not sputa jnanam, but asputa jnanam. That means we have got only two left, Manushya Loka and Brahma Loka. And we rule out Brahma Loka also because of one big problem. Once you go to Brahma Loka, you can gain the knowledge very easily. That is true. But the problem is what? Going to Brahma Loka is the problem. Once you manage to go, then you have got the best condition there. Best classroom is there. Best teacher is available. Brahmaji himself is teaching. Best teaching possible. Environment is extremely great. Everything is very ideal. But to go to Brahma Loka, one has to do lot of karma, lot of upasanas, so many things. We'll see later, not only we have to do karma throughout the life, at the time of death also, one has to withdraw all the sense organs, mind. And we have to do what? Sarvadvarani samyamyam, manohriti nirudhyacham, murdhinyadhayam atmanaham, pranam. So, controlling all the senses, withdrawing all of them. We have to practice all this. How to practice them? Bring the prana to the hridayam, send through the sushumna nadi, and it has to be released through the brahmarandram from the at the center of the head. It has to go away. All are looking very, very scary. So brahmaloka is also ruled out. How to get to brahmaloka is a problem. So manusha janma is difficult to get, all right, because of some punya we have already got that. So never postpone. In this janma itself, try to acquire this knowledge. Make maximum use of this available human janma. That is the significance of this shloka. So whether one will get knowledge or not in Pitruloka or Gandharvaloka or Brahmaloka, that is not the question. Manusha janma, we have to make use of it. That is the essence of this shloka. Shloka 6. Indriyanam pritak bhavam udayastamayo chayate pratagutpadyamananam matvadhiro na shochati. The first sadhana highlighted is valuing the manusha janma and utilizing the manusha janma properly. Now the second value being highlighted is one should do atma anatma vivekaha. One should discriminate the individual and the individual's nature and the atma and anatma, the body and the atma. Only then aham brahma asmi will be possible. So that's the thing. So I have got the sthula shariram. We have seen these things earlier. I have got the gross body, the physical personality, then the sukshma shariram, I, and the karana shariram, I, the subtle body and the causal body. And the chaitanyam, the consciousness, which is inherent in my body mind complex. So four factors are there in every individual. And we use the term aham to refer to any one of them. And when we say I am very old, we refer to what? We refer to the body alone. As far as sukshma shariram is concerned, the subtle body, it is not old or young at all, because it has existence for many years, many janmas. Even after my physical body dies, my subtle body doesn't die. It has been traveling through several janmas. So future janma also, it is going to continue. So young and old concepts are from the standpoint view of the physical body only. Similarly, we use the term aham for the sukshma sharira aspect also. When we are listening to Vedanta and when we teach Tattvamasi, you are Brahman, the student should say, I am Brahman. He should not tell the teacher, you are Brahman. And when he receives the wisdom and puts in his mind, aham brahma asmi, when the teacher says I am Brahman, and when the teacher says you are Brahman also, the student should say I am Brahman, all right. So if there should be any hesitation in the mind, and that is possible only under one condition, when the teacher uses the term I am Brahman, then I should immediately refer to which aspect? It should be the chaitanyam aspect. When I say I am Brahman, it should refer to the chaitanyam aspect only, not my gross body, subtle body or causal body. If he remains in the physical or emotional level, full of worries, you know, son is like that, wife is like that, daughter-in-law is like that. If he is an emotional personality, listening to Vedanta, if the teacher says you are Ananda Swarupaha, he will say, poor teacher, our family story he doesn't know. That is what he will say. So he tells from his point of view, perhaps he doesn't know what is my lot. So if I should own up Ananda Swarupaha, then I have to withdraw from the physical and the emotional, the sensory and all these levels. Then only I can gain that knowledge. All these personalities I should shed aside. And this is called Tvam Pada Shodhanam. Technically, they call it shodhana, that is withdrawing from anatma and identifying with atma. And from atma standpoint, I can comfortably say, what can I say? Aham brahma asmi. And so what is the important sadhana here now? Disidentifying and or disowning from all the instruments of interaction. And how do we do that? Yama Dharmaraja says, Indriyanam Udaya Astamaya Matva. By studying the Atmaswarup, the Avastha Trayam, the three states of experience, Jagrat Avastha, the wakeful state, Swapna Avastha, dream state, and Sushupti Avastha, the deep sleep state, he can easily conclude the sense organs are not my nature. They are temporary instruments which I use for only transactions. We have told earlier that they are like eyeglasses. I use them and I am able to see somebody else. If I remove them, I am not able to see one somebody. So even after removing them, I continue to exist. So transactions can end, but the transactor does not end. Transactions are incidental. The transactor is not. But the problem is what? When the eyeglasses are owned so closely, they are taken as the very subject itself. Because of proximity, I forget that the glasses are objects outside of me. That is why if I ask a person wearing glasses, what are the things in front of him? He will invariably not include the glasses at all. You ask the question to anybody wearing glasses, what are things in front? He will not include his glasses at all. Because the thing is, an intimate object appears as the subject. And if it is contact lens, it is even worse. He will not even consider it is there. So every instrument is an intimate object, intimate to the subject, and so it appears as the subject. And then how do you know that they are different? That will be the next question. In Jagrat Avastha, I use them. In Sushupti, I disown them. I don't use them in deep sleep. So Udayam Astamaya. Udayaha means they arise in Jagrat Avastha. In the wakeful state, all sense organs, including the mind, and astamayaha, in Sushupti Avastha, all the sense organs, they are all resolved or withdrawn. And even the mind is also resolved. It is said in the Prashnopanishad, Chakshuscha, Drishtavyancha, Shrotrancha, Shrotavyancha, Manascha, Mantavyancha, Ahankarascha, Ahamkartavyancha, Chittancha, Chetaitavyancha, Buddhischa, Bodhavyancha, Pranascham, Vidare Savyancham, Pare Akshare Yeki Bhavati. All these organs, they all arise and they all resolve. And what about me? I continue as the witness. Udaya Astamayam Indriyana. We have to know here. And then the next step of learning is what? Whatever is incidental is not intrinsic to me. That is not my intrinsic nature. I am different from them. Therefore, he says, Indriyanam Prathak Bhavam. First, I understand what? They are incidental, subject to arrival and departure. That is lesson one. And what is the second lesson? Whatever is incidental is not my intrinsic nature. And this is called the Prathak Bhavam. Their distinction, that separateness. From whom? From me, the subject. And why they are separate from me? That will be the next question. Pratyak padyamanana, because they are separately born and gone. They are separately born. And that is why even when a person becomes blind, the sense organ is gone, but the person is there. That means perception is only an incidental nature because of the eyes. When the eyes are gone, I continue to exist without that perception of seeing. But I exist as what? As awareness, the consciousness, matva, having understood this fact that I am different from all the organs of interaction or perception, which we saw actually in Tattva Bodha as what? Sthula, Sukshma, Karana, Shariraat, Vyatiriktaha. And once it is understood that I am different from the gross body, subtle body and causal body, and the next step is what? Aham, Brahma, Asmi. I am different from all of them, and then who am I? Aham, Brahma Asmi. Brahman means what? Limitless I am. Initially, there is a resistance. When I look at myself as the body, I can never say I am limitless. I am only 5 feet, 10 inches, 8 inches, whatever it is. So from body angle, I can never say I am limitless. So from the mind angle also, if I have to comfortably say I am limitless, I must abide in what? in the consciousness alone, I can very comfortably say, I am the limitless one, only when I abide in consciousness. And what is the benefit I can get out of this? Dhiraha na shochati. That discriminative person who has got this knowledge, a person of sharp and very fine intellect, because separation of consciousness and mind is very, very difficult. Separating consciousness and body itself is very difficult. Therefore, he calls a person who can do this as dhiraha, that discriminative person, such a jnani. What benefit he gets? Na shochati. Thereafter, he does not grieve at all. Grief is because of what? I identify with my body. The moment I identify with my body, the body's mortality becomes my mortality. So, I will always conclude, I am mortal. And the thought that I am mortal, that will never be comfortable to me. I am going to die. I can never accept the idea of I am mortal. You know why? Because my nature is immortality. My nature is immortality. That is why I am not able to accept mortality. And anything against my nature, I cannot accept. That is a natural rejection. Like when a dust particle enters into my eye, it is unnatural. So what happens? Tears automatically come. Something enters my nose. What do? We sneeze. It has to be gone. Body has to get rid of it. So whatever is unnatural is naturally rejected. The thought I am mortal, I can never accept because it is unnatural. Then what is my nature? I am amrutaha. So the struggle will continue. It will go away. So only when that thought is removed, and that thought can be removed only by one method. And what is that method? I have to drop identifying with the mortal body. Then only that thought will be gone. As long as I identify with my mortal body, the thought that I am mortal will continue. It cannot be gotten rid of. The moment I decide to identify from the mortal body, I will say, body is mortal, but I am immortal. Any body is mortal, that will create no problem for me at all, because bodies are mortal, because it is its nature. Jagate vardate viparinamate apakshiyate vinashyati. That is the nature of the body. Shadvikaravate, it goes through all the sixfold modifications. The problem is not body's mortality, but the problem is I am mortal. I think I am mortal. That is the problem. So the greatest advantage of this wisdom is I am objective with respect to my body. I am objective with respect to my family member's body. Therefore, I am not going to reject the fact that the body is mortal. I'll accept it. That is a fact. So old age is accepted. Separation is accepted. Death also is accepted gracefully. Jatasya hi dhruva mrityuho dhruvam janma mrityasya cha tasmat aparihariyate natvam shochitum arhasi. Arjuna, how can you complain that these people are dying? You should complain if they are not dying, because that is natural. This is the prayojanam, or the benefit of this knowledge, this wisdom. Sloka 7. Indriyebhya param manaha manasastvamuttamam sattvadati mahanatma mahato vyaktamuttamam. Yamadharmaraja, what he does, he gives another method of the atma anatma viveka. Atma anatma viveka, he gives this identification from the anatma. The body is a criterion, a necessity for Vedanta. For a person to learn Vedanta, this is a criterion. And the anatma is divided into five layers known as panchakoshas. And I should actually, in Tattvabodha, we have covered all these things elaborately. Please, if anybody has any doubts, please refer to the notes of Tattvabodha, which are already published on the site. And I should gradually withdraw from each anatma. First, I withdraw from the annamaya kosha, and identify with pranamaya kosha. Then I withdraw from pranamaya kosha, identify with manomaya kosha. Then come to Vijnanamaya Kosha. This gradual disidentification process, that is called Panchakosha Vivekaha. And this has been already talked about earlier in Kathopanishad itself. So we are not going to elaborate it here, but we will give only the reference. It was discussed actually in the first chapter, first part, third, section, mantras 10 and 11, just for reference, if somebody wants to note down. Almost those two mantras, first part, section 3, slokas 10 and 11 are almost repeated in the second part also, in third section 7 and 8. So that's what we are seeing. And the steps are given here first. Indriyebhyaha parammanaha. We have to withdraw a mind from the external world and come to the physical body level. From the body we withdraw and identify with our sense organs. And each one is subtler than the previous one. Annamaya is the grossest. Then pranamaya is subtler. Manomaya is still subtler. So this gradual method is used so that the mind gets sensitized. If you immediately take the subtlest, mind cannot adjust. So acclimatization process, like a mountain climbing, when you go to, Kailas Manasarovar, they take you to different levels and you stay there for a day or something so that you will get adjusted to that height. So in the same way, from the grossest field, the mind cannot suddenly comprehend the subtlest Atma. So this Arundhati Darshanyayena, so we have already done this earlier. We have, we have to gradually sensitize the mind. So from the sense organs, one has to come to the mind, which is subtler than the sense organs compared to Indriyas. So how do you know the mind is subtler? The law is, the controller is subtler than the one that is controlled. The sense organs are controlled by the mind. And so the mind should be subtler, stronger, powerful. And manasaha sattvamuttamam, superior to the mind, subtler than the mind is the intellect, the rational faculty. Mind represents the sankalpa vikalpatmakam manaha. We saw in Tattvabodha, it's a doubting faculty. It oscillates whether to do this or not. And buddhi represents nishchaya tattvam, nishchayatmika buddhi, the capacity to rationally analyze and remove the doubts. That is the nature of buddhi. Since the doubts are removed by the rational faculty, which is stronger between mind and buddhi? Intellect should be only stronger than the mind, which is given to emotions and doubt. The mind does, whereas intellect doesn't. So the vijnanamaya kosha, the intellect, that is subtler than the manomaya kosha. And withdraw from manomaya kosha to vijnanamaya, identify with vijnanamaya kosha. Of course, the mantra does not say we have to withdraw, we have to supply from the context, because that's, as we already know these facts earlier. So we have to supply that and adjust it here. So that is what, then what is the next step? Sattva dadi mahan atma. Here we have to carefully note that the word sattvam, that indicates intellect and not sattva guna. We have to be careful. Sattvam refers to intellect, buddhi, and not sattva guna. Sattvam is buktihi, buddhihi refers to vijnanamaya kosha. So from the intellect, where should we identify? Sattva dadi mahan atma. From the individual intellect, may you learn to identify with the total intellect, Mahan Atma. So shift the attention from individual intellect to the total intellect. So this process also is important, because to gain the Aham Brahma Asmi Jnanam, not only the mind should be subtle, it should be an expanded mind also. Because Brahman is both subtle and also all-pervading. Very important. So mind has to be both intensive and should be extensive also. It is like saying what? When you say, I am a Tamilian or a Telugu person, I am identifying with a limited number of people. But how do you expand your mind? By saying, I am an Indian or an American, then you have expanded. Or I am a human being, even more. Then I say, don't I say I am an Indian? Then one might begin to hate other people. So we don't want to do that. We want to identify ourselves primarily as humans. What binds every one of us together is because we are all fundamentally humans. So if I say I am Asian, then maybe it is a little expanded than saying I am Indian, but it still says I am not an European or an American. So I am a subject of the world, of the cosmic maker. I am a human being. So that humanness expands to encompass the entire humanity. That is how one should learn to identify oneself. Then I say, don't say I'm a human being, then you will leave out others, then you will leave out all other things like, you know, the animals and plants and all. They are also part of creation. So say, I am a living being. That will include animals and plants also. You know how the mind is gradually expanded? That is how it should be. Identification with Brahman will come only when the mind learns to expand in this manner. Then don't stop with that also. Because then if you say I am all living beings, then you will be excluding all the inanimates. So remove the adjective living also. You say I am a being. I am a being. So sadeva saumya idam agra asit. Shift your identification to the very pure existence principle. Inanimates, objects also exist. I also exist. So I am a being. So all the adjective belong to anatma. Human being, this, that, Asian, Indian, American, all those things belong to anatma. Adjective belong to namarupa. Never identify with the adjective, identify only with the noun, namely the conscious being, the consciousness. So which is indicated as I am. Then it expands to include the whole creation. That is how mind gets expanded. Therefore, as a preparatory exercise, Yama Dharmaraja says, learn to identify with the samashti buddhi, the total intellect, namely the Hiranyagarbha. How to identify the Hiranyagarbha? By understanding that the individual does not exist separate from the total. Micro cannot exist separate from the macro. Once we understand that, we can say, I am the total intellect, which is manifesting through several individual bodies. So, Sattvat Adi Mahan Atma. I am Hiranyagarbha. From there, where you should go to now? From Hiranyagarbha. Mahataha Avyaktam Uttamam. Superior to Hiranyagarbha, the total. Otherwise, technically, the total Sukshma Shariram is Avyaktam, which represents the total Karana Shariram, which is the subtlest in the material field. So compared to the Hiranyagarbha represents the total subtle body, and this Avyaktam represents the total Karana Shariram, the causal body, which is subtler than the subtle body. And that is why when we teach Tattva Bodha, most of the people say that they don't understand the Karana Shariram alone. They understand, okay, the gross body I understand, subtle body I understand, but the causal body I don't. Because I define the Karana Shariram as that which is experienced in deep sleep. That cannot be explained. It can be experienced only in deep sleep. And you look in your deep sleep state, you conclude that there is blankness. That is what we conclude. In the deep sleep, there is no dream. So it is blankness. But what Vedanta says is, blankness is not absence of a thing, but is the whole creation in potential form. That's what Vedanta says. Blankness is not absence of something. It is in the whole creation in the potent form. Like zero, for example. What we think of zero? As nothingness, right? But zero is not nothingness, but it is everything in potential form. Because from nothingness, nothing can come out. From blankness, nothing can come out. So, Karanavastha is zero. Zero is blankness. Blankness is not nothingness. It is everything in undifferentiable form. Which the scientists, they call it as singularity or something like that. So, which is beyond all comprehension. Where informations are not obtained. But it is not nothing. So, what I experience in my deep sleep is my world is in a potential form. Now, if we extend this to the whole creation in potential form, that is called avyaktam. We are trying to understand the term avyaktam, and that's why we are going through all these explanations. So, we have to learn to identify with that avyaktam. So, I am Vishvaha, the grossest eye. Then, I am Aham Taijasaha, that is, I am the subtler eye. Aham Prajnaha, still subtler. Once this is understood, Aham Turiyaha, I can come to the consciousness level. And so learn to identify with Avyaktam. Avyaktam means the Samashti Karana Shariram, which is Uttamam, the highest or the subtlest in the creative world, in the relative world. And the next jump is to the Absolute. So in the relative world, The highest one is the Turiya, which is Avyaktam, the Samashti, total Karana Shariram, and that is considered Uttamam, and we have to jump from there to the next highest level. And how do you do that jump? That is given in the next mantra. We will see in the next webinar. Yo Vedadav Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Parasa Maheshwaraha Sri Krishna Atmanastha.